Welcome back to Care to Share 1350
with Ali
and Valentina.
I will start with a wee medical disclaimer that we are not medical practitioners, nor will we ever be.
No,
we are history students and we know nothing. So please, please, please do not believe a word we say, because as much as we try and be factual, it sometimes doesn't happen. And
no.
So do talk to your doctor and find other reliable resources that are not too...
People who actually like have trained in what they're saying. We're using our experience, which
exactly
is all is good, but if you are
limited sometimes,
yes, limited. But yeah, so today we've got quite a nice little lineup going. So we've got an interview with the lovely Ikrin.
Very lovely. I met her. I met her over Zoom, and she was honestly the nicest, sweetest person.
Like
I say every week about everyone who comes on.
Yeah, but
genuinely. She's so lovely,
and she was the girl that basically I was in my first chemo with, and like basically ties. That's what we're going to talk about today, which is the pandemic and how it affected when you know going through cancer diagnosis. Because what happened was I was on my own when I was having a chemo session, and so Ikrin was actually there, and she was having her chemo done, but she was like coaching me along, and I started doing. I'll tell you all this later, but I started like really freaking out over the weirdest, smallest like. Most ridiculous things, and it was like funny at the time, but she was basically there throughout everything. So we did an interview with her, and she kind of told us all about her experience and stuff, and she goes on to like how the pandemic affected everything, and then she also talks about like what she's taken from the experience and like life now after cancer, and it was all very like positive, and she gave very like wise words, I think, for everyone, even if you had cancer or not had cancer. She has like a very nice perspective, I think, on life.
Yeah, so after the interview, I think we're going to have a chat about cancer and the pandemic.
Yes.
And how you cope with such things. And we do have a resident expert, Valentina, who got diagnosed.
I'm such a digging, who's that?
Who got diagnosed, obviously, during the pandemic.
Yeah.
That will be very good to talk about and prepare talking in our interview that we pre-recorded earlier.
So, yeah, I can't wait to share this with everyone because it was very inspirational and we hope you enjoy it.
It started around maybe November of 2019. I was in my second year of college, so it was just a stressful season as it was. And I feel like I was getting a lot of like back pain, a lot of like infections and stuff. And I feel like I was just like constantly tired. So then when I went for my checkups around maybe January to the GP, they were just like, oh, we think that it might be just like that you're anemic, so we'll just give you some iron tablets, which I took, and they were still not helping. So at one point I even started like swallowing, like having trouble with like swallowing and stuff, so ended up going to the doctors again, and I was like, it just feels like there's something stuck in my throat, like it's not a nice feeling, can you please just check it out? And they were like, oh, we're not too sure, again, like give a few weeks, maybe it'll pass. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to bother them again, like I'll just leave it and kind of stick with it. So then it came to COVID time around March, and what happened was I was on FaceTime with one of my friends. I was lying down, and then as I got up, I just kind of put my hand on my like right collarbone, and I felt a bump, and I was like, oh, this is weird, but maybe it's just like muscles or something, like I pulled a muscle or whatever. So then I think a week later, I went to my mom saying, hey, like, is this normal? And she was like, oh, I'm not too sure. It might be a cyst, or it might be like, we thought it was COVID, because obviously what happens with lymph nodes, they tend to... swallow up when there's an infection going on, or maybe when you're on your period. Someone was like, well, you never know. So I was like, well, I have just come off my period, so maybe that is it. So I ended up leaving it for about 2 weeks, and after 2 weeks it was not going. It started to hurt, it was growing bigger, and I just didn't know what was going on. So again, I thought it was just maybe a cyst or something, because like I've never had one of those, and I thought maybe, you know, it's like a little lump. I never thought it would be cancer, because I feel like I always assumed that cancer was just something for old people. So then what ended up happening after 2 weeks, I contacted the doctor and I was like, well, this is what's been going on. She asked me for pictures, sent her pictures, and I turned 18. So I turned 18 thinking, oh my God, like I'm going to be living a life. I'm going to start uni soon. Like, this is great. Turned 18, 2 weeks later, a week later, sorry, I went for a biopsy, and 2 weeks later, my results came. So what happened was I went in thinking, should be all fine. I sit down, mum was not allowed because it was COVID, and because I was legally, obviously, 18, an adult, I can't have my parents with me. So I went in, sat down, I had two nurses and a doctor just literally surrounding me. Sat down, tried to make myself calm, because obviously having nurses and stuff around you was not ideal. And they said, we've got some bad news. I was like, oh my God, like, what's it going to be? And they were like, you've got Hodgkin lymphoma. So I started crying, not knowing what it is. And then obviously explained that it was cancer. Cried. Mum, thankfully, was like literally around the corner, so she managed to come in. She saw me crying, so she starts crying without having an explanation. And when they told her that it was cancer, we both kind of broke down together.
Yeah, that's exactly, it's like very similar to what I went through. And it was that same thing where, you know, they say Hodgkin's lymphoma and you actually don't even know what that is, but you know, it's literally not good. and then when you, like, my dad came, my dad was like around the corner, exactly the same as that. And he came in and he was like, right, this is obviously not good news now, is it? But yeah, similar kind of things that I've literally noticed straight away where, you know, you said, oh, like you were tired and also that like, you went to the doctor, but you kind of thought, I'll just leave it. That, you know, Ikram, I swear to God, everyone we spoke to, whoever's told us about like their experience has said the exact same thing, that they've literally been to like the doctors and then like been like kind of told that it's actually nothing, don't worry about it. So it's just, I feel madness.
Especially like during cancer and stuff, and obviously Valentina, you know about it, but whenever I try to speak to doctors, I feel like they always make me feel kind of stupid for it. And I feel like they always, because we are young people, they'll always assume that we don't know like how our bodies work and how we feel. And I feel like they always think, oh, no, it's nothing, when in reality it is not nothing. It is something and it needs to be fixed.
Yeah, that's what we've said a lot, is that just in general going to get checkups and stuff, people do try and go, you're young, you're going to be fine, which it shouldn't really be the case. Like, I am fortunate enough to not have had cancer, but I had a really big lump in my breast. I went to go get it checked, and literally before they even touched me or put a scan on, they were like, you're not going to have cancer. And I was thinking, obviously I'm hoping the chances are that I don't, and I'm hoping I don't, but they don't know that.
No, literally, it's just so true. And that's the thing that I think the most common theme that we've literally found throughout like everything that we've done so far. But yeah, and so then you obviously got started, you had your treatment, and you obviously, I know it was difficult for Ikram. It was actually quite, I mean, we always kind of joked because we were like, can't believe how hard this actually is for Ikram, because obviously, well, even though we had the same treatment, it's like your body really like, what's the word, that like, kind of deals with it completely differently. It's like each and everyone's different basically in how they deal with the chemo and everything like that. So maybe if you just want to say like a little bit about like how you kind of got through it in like a mental aspect, and then we can talk about, you know, how you are now kind of thing.
Well, I feel like mentally it did not hit me that I had cancer until I lost my hair. I think that was the hardest bit that I had to go through, because it was literally like so physically and emotionally upsetting that I could not take it. And I feel like to this day now, I've not necessarily fully processed what I've been through, just because I know it is too much for me to handle right now, and I'd rather not think about it much, which is the way that I've kind of started coping with it. But mentally, cancer destroyed me. Like, it was so, so bad that, because I never like imagined that the symptoms would be this bad. And people would always think that, oh yeah, just because I had like my good week, they'd always think, oh yeah, she's fine now. And then it'd come to my chemo week and it'd be back to zero. And then I start feeling a little bit better and it goes down. And it was a cycle like that for about 8 months. And I remember sitting down with like our nurse, and me and Valentina just sat down doing our chemos. And we were kind of going through like the symptoms that obviously people who are going through chemo have got Hodgkin lymphoma go through. And I was thinking, tick,
because
literally I've been through everything that like you could ever have on Google or whatever it is. Like, I just feel like it was very hard, and I will admit that. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh my God, you know what, yeah, cancer, like I'm so strong now and you know I'm doing so well, because I wasn't for the longest time. But I've managed to come through it, and again, my way of getting through it is now being as busy as I can, because like getting diagnosed with cancer is one thing, getting diagnosed with cancer during the pandemic was completely different. It was a very upsetting experience, if you ask me.
That's what we've come across a lot, is the mental struggle, and obviously Valentina can relate a bit because of your shared experience. But I was wondering, you have to answer this, but what stage were you diagnosed with?
I was diagnosed with stage 2A, but it was bulky. So what that means is that I only had it in my upper body, but it was everywhere in my upper body. So I had it in the middle of my chest, like on my collarbones, my throat, and then my armpits. It was bulky, like the word says.
That's quite an interesting term. I've never heard that.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I never heard of it either. Like, you don't usually, people don't usually say, oh, 2A bulky Hodgkin lymphoma. But when I sat down with the doctor, they were like, yeah, it's pretty much everywhere. So it's going to be intense.
It's so interesting as well how you said about, like, the pandemic and how much that affected, because it actually did. Like, I know, this is why I said, this is why me and Ikram became so close, because I literally had my first chemotherapy. I was, can you imagine, like, the nerves of, like, sitting in that chair? I didn't even know what was going on. And they were like, and I was, there was no one there. You had to just sit there on your own, like, go about to have, like, the chemotherapy put into your system. You have no idea how you can react to it. And that's why Ikram was sat across from me. And it was one of them where we looked at each other and we were like we were kind of, you know, sitting each other out. And obviously Ikram had been there for a while, so she was working me out to see whether she, it was, you were, like, you know, comfortable to talk and stuff. And we kind of just started talking, and then we just didn't stop talking. And we tried to get, like, our chemos together all the time and stuff like that, so we'd always have each other. Because obviously, like, with the pandemic, you can't, you're on your own. So I think having each other was, like, a nice comfort blanket for us. Especially for me, anyway.
No, definitely for my side as well. I mean, I went through, what was it, from June until, was it October that we met?
Yeah.
Around October.
Yeah.
So I literally thought, oh my God, like, if I finally found, like, someone who I can talk to. My chemo, yeah. And I realised it was so upsetting, because it was coming to the end of my chemo, and I thought, oh, we're not going to be in this, like, all the time now. But
yeah,
honestly, it was really helpful. But one thing that also was kind of upsetting was, other than the fact that you couldn't have anyone in, the fact that now whenever I go for my checkups, there's an M&S cafe that's opened up.
I know.
Everyone. And we used to be stuck with the meal deals from Blue Smith, which we're not the best. I'll tell you that, we're not the best. And especially when you're nauseous and you're tired because you're going there early in the morning. I could have done with it, like, a warm coffee and a toast or something.
It's so good.
I really,
little things.
Literally, like, we weren't asking for, like, a gourmet meal or anything, but just, like, something warm and nice, because, again, you're cancer patients, like, you kind of need the best of the best, like, you need nutrition for your, like, for your body to be reacting less likely than you wouldn't usually. So I feel like it's still, again, it's a lot of things, but even inviting people in during your chemo, spending time with your friends, like, better Wi-Fi, I guess, even, because I couldn't, like, there was never signal to be texting anyone anyway, so you kind of be stuck there with downloaded, like, movies and stuff, trying to do your chemo, which, again, not the most pleasant experience.
No, it massively affected us. And like you said, it's almost like now, hopefully, things will have got better, because, like you said, we go in for checkups, we see things that have got better. So hopefully they have, because that was not a nice time, and especially for you, because you were in the height of it. I came in, you know, even though there was, like, lockdown and stuff, it all, like, we kind of got to grips with it a bit more, but you were, like, there when it was actually peaking. So yeah, it was not great timing in that sense. How are you now? Because you literally look amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing. So how are you actually? So you're back at uni, aren't you? Well, to be honest, Ali, she did a degree when Ikram did a degree whilst having cancer.
Gosh.
A law degree. I was gobsmacked when she told me.
I didn't come into our seminar last week because I had tonsillitis. I don't think it shows how strong you are.
Thanks. No, honestly, what happened was I kept thinking it over whenever I got my results and stuff, and because I didn't get to sit my exams, I kind of was glad that COVID happened in that sense, because then otherwise I would have had to redo probably A-level year, because I wouldn't have been able to do my exams at the same time as everyone, to the same time as I got diagnosed. So I feel like my only thing that kept me going was thinking, I've got uni now, like, I'll find it. And in my head, I didn't think COVID or cancer was going to stop me from having a degree. And I thought, if I'm finishing my, like, chemo around November time, why would I waste a whole academic year just for 3 months? So I just kind of kept going, thinking, I'm just going to do uni. It's not going to be that hard. Like, maybe I'll just catch up with my good week and stuff. It was hard. I will admit, I had to do assignments while sitting in a hospital bed and waiting for my chemo to be delivered. But I managed to do it. In the sense of how I am now, I'm fine. Like, I'm very happy of how far I've come. I mean, my hair's grown and it's now all curly, and I'm absolutely obsessed with it.
I am.
Thank you. No, honestly, I feel like seeing how much my hair's grown and how much, like, just the little things. I get, like, memories from Snapchat from, like, a year ago, and I see literally how far I've come. I had no eyelashes. My eyebrows were really thinning out, and now, like, my eyelashes are fine. My eyebrows are thicker than ever. So it's the little things that kind of kept me going, and I think the fact that now it's everyone's kind of gone back to normality, it allows me to be more normal. Like, the one thing that I kept pushing for, even with the doctors, once I finished chemo, was going back to work, even though the whole pandemic was still happening, because I just needed to feel normal for once. Because I was literally at home 24/7, which again did not help. I think if it wasn't for the pandemic, maybe my experience with cancer would have been a bit different. Maybe I would have been able to even go to the cinemas with my friends on my good week, or I would have been able to do just more things than obviously I did at the time. But I struggled massively. Once I came off chemo, I did not feel the same. I kind of like forgot how to act and forgot what normal was. And I was trying to figure out how to live life without cancer, but with the effects of cancer, yeah, basically, which was very hard, and it took months. Like, maybe I'm still going through it now, but it's more kind of becoming more normal and acceptable of how things are now.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the same as me as well. I think you make it like a new, as cliche as it sounds, it's like a new normal for us now, because like you can't erase what's just happened, but at the same time, like, you've got to kind of just appreciate what's happened and just think, you know, you've got to adapt to it almost and carry on. And yeah, I think that leads on to actually the last question I'm going to ask, which is, what was your, you know how like everyone has something that they kind of take away from that experience, what would you say that you would take away from it probably the most? Would you say kind of to appreciate things, or I don't know, whatever do you think? Like,
definitely to appreciate like life a little bit more. Okay. I'm kind of looking at things differently, in the sense that if I want to do something now, I'll do it. If I want to buy something now, I'll buy it. Like, I'm not gonna stop like myself from living life. Literally, I know it sounds very cringy, I know it sounds very stereotypical of like cancer patients to say this, but anything that I want or I'm craving, I will eat. Anything that I think, do you know what, I want to buy this, I'm not going to wait. Sit down and wait for it to buy it. I will buy it right now. And it's generally just because I've been through so much. I'm thinking, I deserve this. I 100% deserve this. And obviously the future is not promised. Like, I could have literally not made it through cancer. Like, other people obviously have, unfortunately. So I always think, this is my chance. If I want to do something spontaneous, like, for example, today is a very silly example, but they've installed like little bikes all around Manchester and near my uni, and I've not rode a bike since year 7, but me and my friends literally, I think it was like £2 for about 40 minutes, paid it, and we rode around, got frozen yogurt and came back for our lecture. And it was one of the most spontaneous things I've done since cancer, and I love it. Like, I just feel more free in that sense,
which is so nice. I love that, literally love it.
Thank you.
Honestly, amazing. And it's such a nice thing to take away from it. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, this is so, although it's such a negative experience, and how can it not be, like, the amount of things that we've been through, but at the same time, like, you, when you take things like that away from it, it's just like, I think that was, it's not, I won't say worth it, but it also, it gives you a good like perspective on life. It makes it worthwhile almost. It kind of makes it, you know, I can't, yeah, like a positive thing basically. And I feel the same way myself. I think, you know, after everything that happened to me, I was very much, before I got ill, I was like, I've got to study, I've got to get my grades. I was like, oh my God, like, no, I'm not going out. And now I'm a bit more like, you know what, yeah, let's do something. Like, it's kind of changed my mindset, because in the same way, it's more, you want to kind of seize the opportunity in front of you, because we know how like scary it can be now when things like that kind of hit you. But yeah, really positive advice to Ikrim. I love it.
Thank you.
Know if you want to add anything, Ali.
No, I think you guys, honestly, I'll just add that I think you both are very inspirational, and I'm quite glad that you guys got to have like a friendship come out of something that some, you know, you could take as a, you know, obviously you didn't want cancer. I'm not gonna say it's like a negative thing, because it does, some people do find a lot of positives in the journey, I've found. But yeah, so I'm just glad that, you know, we've been able to talk to you as well. So thank you.
Yeah.
And we're back. So that interview was just amazing.
It was so good.
It nearly made me cry when we were actually doing it, because I think it just brought back a lot of like memories for me, you know, when I was talking to Ikram at the time, because she was the exact same person during like chemo as she was on that interview. You know, very strong, very like clear perspective, I thought, because when I was in it, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And she was like, look, Tina, you're going to be absolutely fine. Like, we'll get through this together. And that's how she was in the interview, and just very pragmatic about everything and very realistic as well.
Yeah,
I thought
it was really nice how you and her had someone to, with your
say having the same experience on your journey, because that way, like during, especially in COVID, whereas like people couldn't even see their grandparents, at least you've got a friend and a, you know, really helpful partner of sorts.
Literally,
throughout this.
Yeah, no, 100%. I said to her as well, it's on her last kit, because what happened was she was finishing her chemo when I was kind of starting, so we kind of we had like a few together and then she left. But on her last one, I said, I'm gonna let you remember you forever, because she was that biggest that person that I needed someone like that at that moment of time. And she was like a, as cliche as it sounds, she's like a literal blessing to me, because she was sat there and she helped me. And yeah, like I said, you need that, because you're going into a chemotherapy session when you've just literally been diagnosed 2 weeks ago and you're like, what is going on? And you're just seeing everyone who's ill and you're like, I can't do this. This is just freaking me out. And the first chemo is always the scariest, because, you know, you don't know how you react to it. So having someone there is like a big thing, basically. And it's just interesting, because that's what the pandemic forced us to do. And that's why, you know, it was such a, it was kind of such a big event on top of a big event. And it made you like really kind of, you had to be resourceful in a way, because, you know, you kind of lost ties. Like if I had my sister in there with me every single day, it would be completely different, wouldn't it? Like every time I went, it would have been a completely different experience, I thought. And that on top of, I think, so I talked about it and I did an article for the news, this York paper basically. And I talked in there about, you know, the delays and things like that to treatment. And it was a big thing really, because, you know, I say so many times on the show, but it's like you're on the treatment, you're about to start treatment and things like that, and then you're getting your tests done and everything, and then everything gets delayed and you're like, what? Like you're in a limbo and you're stressed out for the whole limbo. Like you're literally there, like, I can't think for even more than 2 seconds, and then I've got to wait for like 3 weeks for this appointment that could tell me if I've got cancer or not.
I think that's like the worst thing, is just where you know what you have to go through, but you just don't know when it's going to happen.
It's so, like, not knowing, and you, and it kind of, with the pandemic, it forced you to be in that state for longer than you needed to be, because I know you can always have delays no matter what time you get cancer, but with the pandemic you were, and then there was things like, you know, isolating before the surgery I had, and then also isolate, and then having to do tests, make sure I didn't have COVID. That was a stress in itself, because I thought, if I have COVID, I can't get like these like surgeries, don't know, all this. And then obviously when I was ill, like the Christie, to be fair, like they kind of make it so it doesn't exist for you. But it also, they do obviously say as well, it is obviously around, like you've got to be very careful. But because we were so young, we were actually safer because of the cancer we had. We were actually okay.
That's good.
I know, which
I was
is
going to say, but like, you know, chemo is not
it wipes out your immune system, and that's why they said that's it's like getting any infection. Though that's what they basically said to us. They said, you obviously, A, we don't know how COVID, you know, will react to individuals, but on the whole, we've seen with younger people that it's okay, and you're still in that category, even if you've got cancer or not. So that was like reassuring. But obviously, it's like with chemo, if you get an infection, you're in hospital.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you just wiped out by it. It's not like an infection like today. They need to support you in the hospital as like, you know, like a standing immune system almost. But yeah, big effect, I think, the pandemic. But also kind of brought out different sides to people. Like, you just had to become, you know, like I said, more resourceful, stronger. You have to think like more for yourself. I was strong before it, and then when I was on my own, I actually had to learn to like deal with things on my own, like big things as well. And before then, I've obviously been a student and stuff, so I already dealt with like living on my own and things, but it was a different type of thing. Obviously, you're talking to doctors, professionals, and you like sorting your life out basically without anyone stood next to you. So yeah, very strange time, but that's what Ikram basically was talking about when she was saying about the pandemic. And it was interesting to see how, you know, much she felt like it impacted her as well.